This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow, but tonight is a big night. There is lots of stuff going on tonight. For one thing, it's recurring. And whenever recurring goes through, it's always a little exciting. I call it the pig and the python. I think I've probably mentioned that before. So in batch, we are sending through, 625 batches tonight. Normal night is 100 batches, so we are going to be over 6 times the normal load tonight. We have done it in the past, but you know, the great thing about technology is that it works until it doesn't. So, you know, it's a little warm, so I don't think I'm going to have the window down because that will make a lot of noise. I will just try blowing hot air on me. I still haven't fixed my air conditioning because I'm just waiting to see how long I can hold out before I get my air conditioning fixed. But I'm getting close. I mean, let's see. Today, outside, it's 87 degrees. Inside the car, since it's been sitting in the sun, it's at least 5 degrees hotter than that. So I'm probably in the low 90s in the car. Probably when I get up to 95 or 97 in the car, it's going to be about time to get some air conditioning working. It's either that or roll down the windows, one of the two. Anyway, so tonight, not only are we running recurring after we get through all those batches, recurring contributions, after we get through all of those, a bunch of the guys are going to be in to make backups of strategic databases and then move and change servers on some of the backbone systems. That, you know, it's the old legacy code that we have interfaces to and we draw information from. So this is going to be very exciting. I'm actually not in for it. And, you know, my input really would only be required if there was a problem, clearing what we call cycle. Clearing those 600 some odd batches, which we've done this month after month after month after month, so, you know, I'm not too concerned about it, but you never know till it actually works. So the 20th is always an interesting evening, and I think the guys are putting in a late one tonight. I think they're going to start with their moves sometime around 10 o'clock tonight, because they have to wait for my stuff to finish. And they're going to put up some maintenance screens for some of the external portals. And then they're going to get to work making backups and moving over to the new servers and restoring the backups and then doing a preliminary check to see how things look and blah, 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 blah. So I obviously told them, if you have any problems and need any help, just holler. But they've been working on this for months. They have it well under control. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out. Then tomorrow, of course, the user community will be back, and they will be working on all the same programs they're used to working on, but it will have a whole other infrastructure underneath, and that will hopefully go okay, and hopefully all the connections will get hooked up back right. The manager of the area, one of the areas I work in, came up with a really good analogy that I thought was fun. His wife was saying, "So what are you doing tomorrow night?" So he was trying to explain it to her. And he said, "Well, we have a house that has all the foundation and all the plumbing and the electrical and all that sort of stuff. And we've gone across town and we've built a new foundation with all the electrical and all the plumbing and all that kind of stuff. And tonight, we're bringing in hydraulic jacks, and we're jacking up the house, disconnecting everything, driving it across town, setting it down on the new foundation, and reconnecting everything. So Anyone who comes to the house, it will actually look the same. It may not be in the same location, but it'll look the same. And hopefully everything gets hooked back up correctly. And I thought that was a pretty good analogy. So, it's been a good week. I've had some nice conversations with friends. Had a nice email from a buddy who's been listening to the podcast. He was getting caught up on some topics that we had discussed. And in fact, he gave me some information that I had not seen before that I'll actually be talking about, because it dovetails with the rest of what I was going to talk about today. So that's good. From a writing perspective, not so much this week. I was, I think, able to get to somewhere around 3,000 words in this week. And by this week, I mean Friday to Friday. Because I got some done on Friday, and then we actually went down to Oklahoma for a memorial service. Had a nice time down there with family, and then we were back in on Sunday late. I was able to pound through some words on Monday, and then Tuesday I was on babysitting duty because my daughter was going back for the rehearsals for the Skinny Improv, an improvisational comedy group she's working with, and their son, Asher, is a chunk, man. That boy is already 17 pounds, 5 ounces, or something like that. And he's only a couple of months old. And they were going to be babysat by Lynette, my wife's parents. And neither of them can lift him and maneuver. So I went over to assist with that. So that pretty much shot Tuesday night. Wednesday night is fast night. So I got a little bit done last night, but not a whole lot. And then there's tonight, and we actually have family in tonight who are on their way, should be in fairly soon. They're going to have dinner with us tonight and then breakfast tomorrow morning, and then they're going to be heading down to Branson. So it's going to be nice to see them. We just saw them over the weekend, but, you know, it's always nice to see them. They're good people. But, you know, some nice conversations this week. Not just with my normal people, but of course at the family reunion, got to get caught up with some of the cousins and yada, yada, yada. So it's good. This week, what else? I think that's about it. I watched a TED Talk this last week. And I know that I've talked about this topic a little in the past, but I do think it's a really fascinating topic. And it's interesting that there is seemingly a great deal of conversation going on about this topic at this point. And it really is going to be very fascinating to me to see how this all works out. The topic was, what will future jobs look like? The author of the talk was a man named Andrew McAfee. It was a good talk. He's an optimist about the future. He really couldn't come up with any good reasons to be an optimist. And everything in his presentation basically showed us going one direction, which is not good for most of the population in the United States. But in the conclusion of his talk, he basically said, but we hope it's going to be better. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He did have some interesting anecdotes and interesting statistics that I was not aware of. And so those are the things that I was concentrating on that I thought, oh, this is interesting. He opened his talk with some interesting little tidbits. He said the writer George Eliot cautioned that among all forms of mistake, prophecy is the most gratuitous. And he said that agrees with his 20th century counterpart, Yogi Berra, who said, "It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future." You gotta love the Yogi Berra. According to Andrew McAfee, he said, "In the world we're creating very quickly, we are going to see more and more things that look like science fiction and fewer things that look like jobs." He said, by his reckoning, for about 200 years now, people have been making this prediction, saying that the age of technological unemployment is at hand. He said, you can trace that all the way back to the Luddites, who were smashing looms in Britain about two centuries ago. And he said, and they were wrong. There's always been jobs. He said, but in his opinion, this time, it is different. And he said, the reason that it's different is because we have technologies and computers that are demonstrating skills that they have never had before. Understanding, speaking, hearing, seeing, answering, writing. And he said they're constantly acquiring new skills. And he said there's two kind of things that are going on that really are great economic news for us. He said one is that technological process is allowing us to continue an amazing run where output goes up all the time. Prices are going down, and volume and quantity continue to explode. And he said the other great economic news is that, well, once machines, once Android starts doing jobs, we won't have to do them anymore. And we get freed up from drudgery and toil. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I've mentioned this before, is that this is one of my selling points that I use as a consultant. When I am going into a new business that has called me in because they're experiencing pain, I have some very basic observations that I make. And what it comes down to is humans are not computers and vice versa. And whenever you have humans that are doing a computer's job, that's not going to work. And then whenever you have computers doing humans' jobs, that's not going to work. And you need to figure out who needs to be doing what and get that done so that your data is only entered once and that it's as entered as close to the point of origin as possible. And your humans need to focus on interacting with other humans. Now, supposedly, Watson, the IBM interesting super computing machine, might come up with some interesting spins on that where you might be able to have a computer who's doing human jobs. But I would just always imagine there's always going to be a niche that some questions you're going to have to get a human on the line to help another human. And he said, you know, when he talks to his friends in Cambridge and Silicon Valley, their viewpoint is this is fantastic. No more drudgery, no more toil. This gives us a chance to imagine an entirely different kind of society. A society where creators and the discoverers and the performers and the innovators come together with their patrons and their financiers to talk about issues, to entertain, to enlighten, and to provoke each other. It all sounds really great. And he had a quote by Freeman Dyson that he said, doesn't look like hyperbole anymore. And that was that technology is a gift of God. And after the gift of life, it is perhaps the greatest of God's gift. It is the mother of civilizations, of arts, and the sciences. That's technology. So the guy who was doing the talk said, well, what could possibly go wrong? And he said, well, let me give you two things. He said, one is an apocryphal anecdote. He said the back and forth between Henry Ford of the Fords, who made cars, and Walter Reuther, who was the head of the auto workers union. Supposedly, this is apocryphal, they were touring one of the new modern factories. And Ford playfully turned to Reuter and says, "Hey, Walter, how are you going to get these robots to pay union dues?" To which Reuter shoots back, "Hey, Henry, how are you going to get them to buy cars?" That's a good point. Because without a robust middle class, there is no economy. And if all of this automation actually comes about, and we don't need manufacturing jobs anymore, we don't need all the middle-level jobs that we've needed for years and years and years and years that pay a decent wage to people who aren't necessarily technologists, these people who vastly outnumber we, the technologists, who's going to drive the economy to buy all this stuff that we normally equate a healthy economy with? So that's very interesting. The other thing that he noted is that while you see corporate profits going up and up and up and up at an all-time high, if you look at the returns to labor, the total wages paid out in the economy, they are at an all-time low and heading very quickly in the other direction. And he gave an example of two people. Since he was at the TED Talk, he said, we'll call one of these guys Ted and the other one Bill, from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, of course. And Ted is a professional. He's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a technologist, professionally trained. He's doing really well. He's employed, he's been employed, he has a good, strong marriage, yada, yada, yada. He said his blue-collar counterpart, Bill, is not doing that well. Bill has been in and out of the workforce in the last several years. His marriage is strained. His wages have been dropping. Bill is in trouble. He said that both of these are actually proof that Voltaire was right when he talked about the benefits of work. The fact is, it saves us. And I thought this was interesting too. Interesting quote. "Not from one, but three great evils. Work saves a man from three great evils: boredom, vice, and need." And if we are headed into a situation where there's going to be less and less jobs for those who are not technologists and not professionals, that's going to be a very disruptive force for our society. He did say in this talk, he said, what he's talking about is not going to happen in the next few years. He said everything's pretty well going to putter along for the next few years. You know, standard economics 101 stuff. You got to encourage entrepreneurship. You need to double down on infrastructure. Make sure you're turning out people with the educational system with the appropriate skills. He said, but over the long haul, as more and more jobs disappear, he said something is going to have to be done about this. And the question is, what is going to happen? And that's a very interesting question. One vision says that what's going to happen is we are going to have this dystopian future where we're going, basically the middle class is going to be obliterated, and you're going to have low-paying service jobs that for the most part can be, I'm checking my mail, for the most part can be replaced by computers, and you just need some people to kind of stand in that gap. And then you're going to have the professionals, the technologists, that actually get to take advantage. Wow, that sounded like I just ran over something, but I don't know what it could be. Maybe I should look. I don't see anything. It's a good day. Unless something just fell off my car. Maybe my tailpipe's hanging down. I haven't checked that in a while. I will check when I get out. So one is the dystopian version of the future, and then the other is that there's going to be some kind of intervention. That somebody, I'm backing into my garage, somebody is going to do something to cause there to be some solution to this. The last time I talked on this, that guy thought that, oh, well, maybe what happens is that this giant data repository that we're creating, my parents-in-law are pulling in here, I thought they weren't coming tonight. This giant repository that we're creating, just a second. Let me pause and see if, this is Nana, let me see if she needs any help. One moment. Okay, so I'm back. got everything hauled in, said hello to everybody. Annette's working on supper and everybody's talking, so that's all going fine. Anyway, so one version is this dystopian future. The other version, I'm getting caught back up to remember where I am. I know you just were quick, but I'm 5 minutes since I've been here. So, okay, dystopian future. Some people are talking about a utopia where, for instance, we would get paid to go and make our little logins on Facebook. Not much, a little bit, you know, just get paid a little bit, and maybe that becomes the revenue stream. This guy in his talk was actually talking about a guaranteed minimum income, which is an interesting idea, that we would actually have a guaranteed minimum income for everybody. And there have been people that have talked about that for years, which I don't know how that all works out. I mean, it's going to be really fascinating to see. And as I said, he really couldn't give us any basis for anything. His whole optimism was the fact that, you know, we're all talking about this, and together we're going to figure this out, and it's going to be great. And my initial response to something like that is, let's see how the flesh works this out, and we'll see if they're willing to let go of their profits so that somebody doing nothing can make money. There's that side of it. And sort of in defense of that, a buddy this week wrote me an email and pointed me toward an article that was in defense of the rich get richer and sort of in defense of he who has the gold makes the rules, which, of course, is the golden rule of business. And part of that was that apparently there is some kind of index that's released from the University of Michigan. I should have written it down. I didn't. It was like consumer confidence or something. I mean, something that really affects the market. It's very well regarded. And at 5 minutes to 10 on some morning, they release this. And they release it, and they have a conference call, and they talk about all the numbers and that kind of stuff. But apparently, if you pay an undisclosed amount of money, they will release that information to you 2 seconds before they start the big conference call. 2 seconds. Now, you might say, well, it's just 2 seconds. But in the age of high-speed trading, that 2 seconds is an eternity. And they were actually documenting how many trades happen to this elite group of individuals who are willing to pay to get the data 2 seconds in advance. And what that tells me is that we will always have these kind of inequities. And unless there is some sort of governmental intervention, I think dystopia is on the way. However, there is also some very interesting things going on in the marketplace. You know, there are some of the big companies that are starting to bring back manufacturing. And one of the things that is driving that is energy cost and the cost of shipping things from so far away and the fact that we have this big energy boom up in North Dakota. I mean, so there's actually, I was reading one guy this week who was saying, you know, because of all that, he'd calculated out, he thinks we're on the cusp of an era of prosperity. And this was a guy who actually predicted the housing crash in 2008. So, you know, he's got some street cred. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this works out. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what the interplay over the entire United States of the flesh and the spirit is going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of very innovative people, and God is at work in the world. And people have been predicting for 200 years that this was going to hit and that, you know, we were going to be in dystopia. And yet, at each stage, a new solution comes along. So it'll be fascinating to move into the future and see how everything works out. I gotta go be with family. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.